Okay, good morning. Thank you all very much for coming. Today's daf is the last amud here in the third chapter of Masechet Brachos. We get to start the next chapter of Masechet Brachos, all about davening, moving away from Kriyat Shema into the realm of Shmona Esrei, Shachris, Mincha, Mariv. What's the time for Shachris, the time for Mincha? Who instituted Shachris? Where did these tefillos come from? All of that we will be'ezrat Hashem merit to learn. We are on Daf Chaf Hey Amud Beis, 25b, the second wide line, the last word on the wide line. We've been learning for several days about the importance to have a clean place for Shema, a clean place for Shmona Esrei, the need to show respect to tefillin, not to walk in with tefillin into a place that has excrement and bad smells. So now the Gemara moves on in terms of talking about respect to tefillin and to a Sefer Torah. We begin with the story, the second widest line here on Chaf Hei Amud Beis, last word on the line. Rav Achai, Iasik Le Librei, Be Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. Rav Achai made a shidduch. He married off his son to the daughter in the house of Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. So he made a match between the daughter of Rav Yitzchak and his son. And so he prepared the chuppah, the sheva brachos. Aile l'chuppah. He brought him into the chuppah. He put up the canopy. He had the chuppah. So what happens after the chuppah? They are together. They consummate the marriage. But the son then related, v'lo hava mistaya milsa. He was unable to consummate the marriage. It didn't work. He tried, wasn't able to have intercourse with his wife. So he told this to his father. So his father, Rabachai, azal basrei liyune. He went after him to investigate. Maybe there's something in the room that made it impossible for my son to consummate the marriage. And in fact, he found the culprit. Chaza Sefer Torah de Mancha. He found the Sefer Torah that was resting in the room. There was a Sefer Torah there. Amar Luhu, so he told the members of Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta's family, Iku Ashta Lo Asai, Sakantan Lebrei, if now I wouldn't have come, what would have been if I wouldn't have come? You almost endangered my son's life. Had he shown disrespect to the Sefer Torah and successfully consummated the marriage in a room with the Sefer Torah, that would have been such a crime, he would have died. So thank God I came and I found it out. And I'm telling you now to clean out the room. Titania, for we were taught in a brisa. Bayis sheyesh bo sefer Torah, when the second to last line on Chaf Hei Amud Beis, a room that has a sefer Torah in it, o tefillin, or if it has tefillin in it, aser l'shamesh bo es hamita, one is not allowed to engage in marital relations in that room, ad sheyotziem, until he takes the sefer Torah or tefillin out, o sheyanichem kli b'sof kli, or he places them in a vessel which is inside of a vessel. Put them into a bag and then put the bag inside a knapsack. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Lo Shana, when we said if it's a vessel within a vessel, then you could have marital relations in the room. Lo Shana, Lo B'Klisha, and kill him. That's only true about if it's a vessel that's not dedicated to them. So a tefillin bag doesn't work as one of the vessels because a tefillin bag is considered part of the tefillin. It's always used for the tefillin. If it's a vessel which is their vessel, afilu asara mani kechad mana dami, even 10 vessels is considered one vessel. So we have a velvet tefillin bag, and on top of the velvet tefillin bag, a hard plastic tefillin bag. That's all the tefillin. That's all considered one vessel. That's not considered a vessel on top of a vessel. Amar Rava. Rava said, though, if you have a box in which you store scrolls, glima akamatra, a cloak being placed in conjunction with the box, the way some explain that means is that you put a cloak over the scroll and then you put the scroll in the box. That's already kichli besoch kli dami. That's already considered a vessel within a vessel, and then one is allowed to have marital relations in the room. So far we've seen that one is not allowed to have marital relations in the room if there's a tefillin or a sefer Torah there, unless the tefillin and sefer Torah are in two covers. Now we're going to see another option. I'm Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said, Sefer Torah tzarech lasos lo mechitza asara. If there's a Sefer Torah in the room, a person has to make a barrier, a wall, 10 tfachim tall. A tefach is, I think, about 3 inches. It's a fistful. So 10 fistfuls tall. And then if there's a barrier between the Sefer Torah and him, which is 10 tfachim tall, they could have marital relations in the room. Mar Zutra ikulebe Rav Ashi. Mar Zutra came to the home of Rav Ashi. Chazye leduchte de Marbar Rav Ashi. He saw the place, the room of Marbar Rav Ashi, the manach ba sefer Torah, that had in it resting the sefer Torah, v'avale mechitza asara, and he had made for the sefer Torah a wall 10 tefachim tall. Amar le, he said to him, Kiman, who are you thinking to be doing this for? Who are you following? Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, you're following Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, who says that a sefer Torah needs a wall 10 tefachim tall, but Eimar Dam Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. When did Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi say this? To Leslay Beisachrina, if he doesn't have some other room where he can put the Sefer Torah in. But Marbar Avashi, Yisle Beisachrina, you have another room. You should be putting it into the other room. Amar Le, he said, Lava Da'atoy, I didn't think about it. You're right. I forgot this lesson that if there's another room, that's what should happen. So it was just a shogig. It was a mistake. But you're really right. The option of a mechitza, of a wall, is not ideal. Ideal to take it out of the room. But if you don't have another room to take it to, then you put up a mechitza. Going back to the Mishnah began by saying if someone was a balkari, and he realizes during Shmoneh Esrei that he's a balkari, he has to stop. So he has to shorten every blessing of Shmoneh Esrei. What happens if someone's a balkari, and he goes to the mikvah? If he sees the sun rising and he wants to quickly go to get out to say Shema, to be able to say Shema together with the Shmona Esrei, because he wants to have Shmona Esrei with the rising sun. So if he has time to get out of the mikvah, good, he should get out of the mikvah. If he doesn't have time to get out of the mikvah and get dressed and say Shema, he can cover himself in the mikvah. But Gemara explained, we're talking about a dirty mikvah. That's how he can be successfully covered through the waters of the mikvah. Then the Mishnah said, if there's urine, he can't say Shema next to the urine until he dilutes it with water. And finally, the last line of the Mishnah, Kama yarchik mehenu min atzoa, how far away does he have to go from urine and from excrement in order to say Shema? Arba amos, 4 amos, which is 6 feet. Amar Rava, Rava said, Amar Rav Schora said, Amar Rav Huna said, Lo shanu ela la'achrav. To be 4 amos away works if the urine and excrement are behind you. Avalafana, but if the urine is in front of you, to just be 4 amos behind it, so that you still see it, doesn't work. Marchik meloenav, you have to get far away that you can't see it anymore. V'chein l'tfila, the same is true in regards to reciting Shmoneh Esrei. If the excrement is in front of you, you have to walk far enough that you no longer see it. Eini is that so, v'hamar Rafram bar Papa, but didn't Rafram, the son of Papa, say in the name of Rav Chisda, Omid Adam Keneged Besakisim Espal. A person can stand, even if he's only 4 amos away, in front of a bathroom. Now remember, again, in those days, their bathrooms did not have toilets always. Sometimes the Besakisim was just an area where people relieved themselves in that area. So there was excrement on the floor and urine on the floor. And it says over here, a person can go for, he can stand in front of the Besakisim and he can pray, and that's enough. Answer the Gemara. There, what are we dealing with? It's a place where people go to the bathroom, but it doesn't have any excrement in it right now because it was cleaned out. Any is that so? But didn't Rav Yosef, the son of Chanina, say, whenever they said their rules about a place where people go to the bathroom, even if there's no excrement in it right now, there's still all these laws. When they said a law about a bathhouse, that you shouldn't learn Torah in a bathhouse. Even if there's no person there who's undressed, sweating up and getting bathed, still you're not allowed to learn Torah in those places. So what does it help that they cleaned out the Beis HaKiseh? It should still have the same status as a place with excrement. And if you say that you can't see the excrement, how could it say that you could pray in front of the Beis HaKiseh just as long as he's 4 amos away? But he's seeing everything. Answer the Gemara, no. Elach b'mayaskinan. When did we have the lesson of Rav and Bar Papa? And then Imar Rav Chisna, that a person can stand in front with a bathroom in front of him, and he can pray. We're talking about a new bathroom. It's never had excrement in it. But it's still a bathroom because they have the sign up saying, this will be a bathroom. People can come here. But no one's ever done anything there. So Gemara says, but is that so simple? But didn't Ravina have a question? Ravina had asked, he's mina l'beis HaKiseh, if they've taken an area of the field and they said, this is going to be the Beis HaKiseh. Now, what's the law? Yesh zimun, oh, ain zimun. Is that, preparing enough to make it considered Beis HaKiseh or not? So the Gemara says, no, keep coming by the Ravina, l'mekam alei, that's in terms of going into it, l'tzluye begave, to daven inside of it. Maybe when someone's prepared it and said it's going to be a Beis HaKiseh, that's already enough that you can't pray inside. Avol kenegdo, but he would agree that to pray next to it, in front of it, lo, that's not a problem. So here, he's praying with it in front of him. That's okay, because there is no actual excrement in it, and there never was excrement in it yet. Okay, now we have a very, very important line. Amar Rava. Rava said, Hani bate kisai de parsai. These latrines, these bathrooms of the Persians, of the Iranians. Remember, the Gemara said earlier that they love how modest the Iranians are in the bathroom. So these bate kisai de parsai, the Persians, afal gav de ispu tsoa, even though there is excrement in it, kistumin dami, they have the status as if it's all sealed up, as if you don't see it. So let's see what this was. Look at the Rashi, right in front of the word masnisin. Rashi says, De parsai of the Persians, bechafira hayu. They used to dig a channel. Upiem berachok minaguma. And actually there was a big cesspool quite far from the hole. Vubishipua. I'm sorry, the opening was far from where the hole was. So the hole is where the excrement would gather. And the opening to collect the excrement was far from it. Fubishipua. And there was a slope. It was like modern plumbing. Vaharei, and the excrement mizgalgel would roll the nofeluguma and would fall into a hole deep under the ground. So that's already considered all sealed up. They had plumbing. So therefore, the head of the Eda Haredis, Dayan Yitzchak Weiss, the Holocaust survivor, the author of Shailos HaTshuvos Minchas Yitzchak, says he believes all of our bathrooms are like the Persian bathrooms. Therefore, all of that we've been discussing till now about the bathroom doesn't apply. If the bathroom is empty and no one is currently there, urinating or defecating, he feels you can daven inside of a bathroom with your tefillin on, because it's all clean. And whatever excrement was there is down in a hole somewhere underneath the ground. And not everybody agrees to it. That's what the Chazon Ish says. He thinks you should, unsure, it's a safek, don't daven in there. But there is such an opinion based on this ruling.
But that's not the halacha opinion.
Is it not the halacha opinion?
No,
I don't know.
You
haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But in homes, right? In a home, right? Not a public bathroom, in a home. The bathrooms are clean.
The question is washing hands. That's where the issue comes. Can you wash your hands after you've relieved yourself in the sink if the sink is in the same place as the toilet? That's where the real question comes.
Right. So that we say that since the hands stay moist outside, tofeach amanas latfiach, moist enough that they can make other things moist, you can still make the bracha.
Can you actually leave off the ruach ra'ah in that room. That's where
it's also true, right? Exactly.
The difference is that our toilets, whatever is put in there, doesn't go away until you flush.
Yes.
As opposed to the porcelain,
it went right away. That's true.
It never stayed there even for a second.
That's right. It flowed
that's
right
the
out.
Distinction, and that's where the Achronim are arguing about.
That's true.
Would they be allowed to make a bracha like right outside the bathroom with 4 hours?
I think so, yeah. If it's clean, yeah.
Well,
if somebody's inside and they're alleviating themselves and there's a bad smell, so they're not. The bad smell, you can't. Okay, so now we're up to the next Mishnah, which we've seen before. Remember that the topic that we've been discussing for several days was Ezra's enactment. Ezra had made a rule that a Baal Keri, someone, a man, or even a woman, who has the impurity of Keri upon them, because it's born normally out of a lightheadedness, should not study Torah, should not say words of Torah, because they're not in the atmosphere of seriousness and awe and trepidation. So now the Mishnah discusses someone who has two impurities. We saw this Mishnah quoted before, Zav. A Zav is a man who's had discharges of a certain fluid that came out of his organ. It's not semen. It's a different type of a discharge. And he's a Zav. He needs to have 7 days of cleanliness. He has to check himself to make sure he stays clean. And after the 7 days of cleanliness, he can go to the mikvah. So let's say it's day three of his cleanliness and Ra Keri. And on the afternoon of day three, he has a discharge of semen. So now we have a bit of a problem. If we think about Ezra's law, we would say, go to the mikvah and then learn Torah. But on the other hand, what did he accomplish by going to the mikvah? He goes to the mikvah, he's still impure because he still needs to wait 4 days till it's day seven to be able to purify himself from the Zov. Or let's say it's a woman who's a Nida. She has had her period yesterday. And she had relations before yesterday. So the relation, when someone has relations, the Shechva Zera can keep coming out for 3 days. Shepalta Shechva Zera. And some of the Shechva Zera came out. Vameshameshes, or a woman who has relations. And then, so when she has relations, Shechva Zera is coming out. She's a Baal Askeri. And then Rasa Nida. And then she has her period. So according to the Tanakhama, all of these three cases, even though the immersion is not going to really make the person pure. Tzrichin tvila, they need an immersion for the keri in order to learn Torah. And after the immersion, they can learn Torah. Rabbi Yehuda says, since the immersion anyway is not going to make them pure, poter, he exempts them from doing any immersion, and they can learn Torah without going to the mikvah. Ibai Eluhu, they had a question in the yeshiva, says the Gemara. What happens if there is a Baal keri? Someone first had an emission, and then Raziva, and then he becomes a Zav. The Rabbi Yehuda Mao, according to Rabbi Yehuda, does he need to go to the mikvah to keep learning? Or he can learn without going to the mikvah? Keep Padre Rabbi Yehuda Hassam. When did Rabbi Yehuda exempt someone from going to the mikvah and said he can learn Torah without going to the mikvah? Bizav Shara Keri. When the person was first a Zav, and then on day three of the Zov, he became Keri, Baal Keri. Demei Kara Lav Bar Tfilu. Initially, he really wasn't going to be able to have an immersion for Torah because he's a Zav. A Zav doesn't need to immerse to learn Torah. And the immersion is not going to accomplish anything. Av Baal Keri Shira Ziva. But if, let's say, first he was a Baal Keri, and then there's the Zov to Meikara Bar Tvilahu. Initially, he needs to immerse to learn Torah when he's a Baal Keri. He needs to immerse to learn Torah. Then he gets a Zov. So now Mechayiv, maybe he's still obligated to immerse to learn Torah. Well, Dilma, maybe Loshna, there's no difference. And according to Yehuda, any time that the immersion is really not going to purify, because the person has another impurity, as the impurity of Zov and the impurity of Nida, so then we say, don't even immerse, just learn Torah. Answer the Gemara, Tashma, we can prove it from the Mishnah, the last case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Hamasha Meshes, if a woman is having marital relations, then after the marital relations, Rasa Nida, then the period came and she saw Nidus. So Tzricha Tvila, she needs to immerse before she learns Torah. So even though she had first had the relations, and the relations made her a Balas, Keri, Rabbi Yehuda, Poter, Rabbi Yehuda says, She is exempt. So a woman who has relations first and then is a nida. That's like a balkari who then sees zov. First there's an obligation of immersion, and then there is a separate impurity that the immersion is not going to wipe away yet. Yudah says she doesn't need to immerse. Shmamina, so this is the proof that that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Tani Rabbi Yechia Behedri, Rabbi Yechia taught this in a braisa explicitly. He said, Baal Keri Shira Aziva. If a man is first a Baal Keri and then he becomes a Zav, Tzarech Tvila, even though this immersion is not going to wipe away the impurity of Zov, he still needs to immerse in order to learn Torah. He needs to immerse to wipe away the Keri. Rabbi Yehuda Poter, Rabbi Yehuda says, since this immersion is not going to make the person pure, he doesn't need to immerse at all. He can study Torah without an immersion. Hadran Allah, Be'ezus Hashem Yizbarach Perek, Misha Meso, V'hadarach Alon. Okay, now we begin the next chapter, the fourth chapter of Masechet Brachos. This is a very popular chapter because it deals with very practical matters. The time to daven Shachris, the time to daven Mincha, the time to daven Mariv, etc. So let's start with the first Mishnah. Tfilas HaShachar, the Shmona Esrei of Shachris, namely the prayer, what we call Shachris. You have to do it in the morning. What's the definition of morning? Ad Chatzos, until the middle of the day. So that is, till the middle of the day you have. Take all the daylight of the day, divide it into 12 pieces, till the middle of the day, till Chatzos, till the sixth hour. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, Ad Arba Sha'os. You only have till the fourth hour. Tfilas HaMincha. What about Mincha? Ad Erev. That you have till evening. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't have all the way till evening. Ad Plaga Mincha. Until half of the Mincha time. So, we're going to see on Amud Beis, the Gemara will explain, that the prayers were instituted to replace the karbanos. Mm. So the karbanos, there were two main karbanos, the karban tamid shel shachar, the karban tamid of the morning, and the karban tamid shel beinu arbaim, the karban tamid of the afternoon. The Torah says, esakev esachad ta'aseh v'boker, ve'esakev esasheni ta'aseh beinu arbaim. You should do one sheep in the morning and one sheep in the evening. So Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is going to explain, Rabbi Yehuda argues, if Mincha was instituted to take the place of Esakev Esasheni Ta'aseh Beinu Arbayim, of the sheep that you're supposed to do in the evening, they would not actually offer the Karban Tamid of the evening with sunset. They would offer it before, because there were things that had to be done after the Karban Tamid of evening. They would have to offer Ketores afterwards, they would have to offer the loaves of the Kohen Gadol, the Chavitin. So they needed time after the offering of the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. So he said the latest that the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim was brought was late in the afternoon, an hour and 15 minutes before the end of the day. So that's why he thinks that that's the end of Mincha time. The end of Mincha time is what he calls Plaga Mincha, half of that Mincha time. In other words, when there's an hour and 15 minutes left to the day, that's the end of Mincha time, and after that, he thinks you can already daven Maariv.
Before the sundown.
Before sundown, correct. Tefillah Sa'arev, the Shmona Esrei of night, namely Maariv, Ein Lo Keva, doesn't have a set time, you can do it all night. Shal Musafim Kalayom, the Shmona Esrei of Musaf is also all day. So again, according to the first view, Shachris, according to the Tanakama Chatzos, according to Yehuda, the fourth hour. Ramino, I'll challenge you, we learned Mitzvasa, the ideal of Shema, is Imanei Tzachama, is with the sun rising, so that he'll have the Shema, and say Goal Yisrael, and then right away Shmona Esrei, and his tefillah should be by day, as the verse says, Yeruchem Shamash, I'll see you with the sun. Answer the Gemara, the answer we've seen several times already, Kitanya, when that price was taught, Levatikin, for the very pious people, Rashi says, Vatikin amakdimin lemitzvot. They're rushing to do mitzvot. Umachazrim la'asos davar bismano. They're trying to do things at its right time. Umitzvaso in its ideal way. So they're makdimin. They do it early to have Shmona Esrei with the rising sun. When our Mishnah is talking about l'ma'achrim, those who are late. So if you're late, lo ya'achar yosem mechatzos, don't be later than the middle of the day, or don't be later than the fourth hour. Going back to the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan taught us, vatikin, those who are very pious, hayikom nosem anaytzachama. But kulei alma, everybody else, according to the Tanakama, ad chatzos, until the middle of the day. Ask the Gemara, v'sulo, can you not do it any further? I have Amrav Mari Braid Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yirmiya Bar Abam Rav Yochanan, but didn't we have a lesson in the name of Rav Yochanan? Let's say someone forgot. Lois Palel Arvis, and he didn't pray Mariv. Mispal B'Shachris Shtayim, when he gets to Shachris, he prays two Shmona Esrays. The first is Shachris, the second is Tashlumin, the makeup of Mariv. And if he forgot Shachris, Mispal B'Mincha Shtayim, he prays in Mincha. Twice. One Shmona Esrei is Mincha, the second Shmona Esrei is the Tashlum in the makeup of Shachris. So if that's the case, you see you can pray after Chatzos. He's praying at Mincha time, two Shmona Esreis. One is the Shachris Shmona Esrei. Answers the Gemara, Kula Yoma Matzli Vazil. You're right. He could end up praying any time during the day. But at Chatzos, if he prayed before the middle of the day, Yahavi Leischar Tfilah Bizmana, he has the reward of prayer at its time. If he prayed after the middle of the day, he has the reward of prayer, but he doesn't have the reward of prayer at its time. So now talking about this concept of tashlumin. Ibarli had a question in the yeshiva. So if somebody forgot, mincha, he didn't pray mincha, does he pray two shmona esreis at mariv? We said earlier that if he made a mistake and he didn't daven mariv, he prays two shmona esreis of shachris. That's Bishum Dechad Yomu. That's all one day. Dechsiv, as the Torah says, Vayi Erev, Vayi Voker, Yom Echad. It was evening and then morning. It's all one day. Avalach, but over here, maybe Tfilah B'makom Karboni, since the prayers take the place of the sacrifices, Kevon Davar Yomer Batal Karbano. Once the day is gone, this day's sacrifice is gone. Odomer, maybe, Kevon Tzusa Rachmi, since prayer is an appeal for mercy, Kolei Mas Dabai Matziv Azli, as much as you always need to pray for mercy. So whenever you want to pray, it's still an appropriate prayer. Tashma Kamani approve. Tam Ravuna Bar Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yochanan. Ravuna Bar Yehuda said, "Name Rav Yochanan." Tav lo espalo mincha. If he made a mistake and he forgot and he didn't pray mincha, espalo arvishtayim. He prays two shmona esreis during Mariv. Ve'im b'zeh mishum davar yom batal karbano. And we don't say over here the rule that we normally have with sacrifices. Once the day is gone, the sacrifice is gone. Meisvei, I'll challenge you. Didn't we learn in a brisa? The verse says in Koheles, Mu'uvas, lo yuchal liskon. Some crimes can't be fixed. Chesron, if somebody wasn't counted, lo yuchal imanos, he can't be counted. Mu'uvas, lo yuchal liskon. A crime can't be fixed. Zesha bitel, kriyat shma shel arvis. That's if somebody missed out on the shma at night. Or kriyat shma shel shachris. Or he missed out on the shma of the morning. O tfila shel arvis. Or he missed out on the shmona esrei of ma'ariv. O tefila shel shachris, or he missed out on the shmona esrei of shachris. The chesron lo yuchal imanos, and if he wasn't counted, he can't be counted. Says shenim lechaver l'dvar mitzvah. That's someone who his friends all were counted in to do a mitzvah. V'lo nimna iman, and he wasn't counted with them. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hachab ma'askin. And here, what are we dealing with? Shebitel b'mezid, where he deliberately chose not to pray. If he deliberately chose not to pray, he doesn't have a makeup. The makeup is only if he forgot. I'm Ravashi. Ravashi said, "Tekanami." That is clearly what it's being spoken about in the Brisa. The Tani Bitel said, "If he annulled, look at Tani Tav." Didn't say if he made a mistake and forgot. Shlamina. That is the proof that we're talking about a deliberate missing out. Starting Chavav Amud Beis. Tana Rabban, our sages taught us in the Brisa. Tav lo espalo mincha the erev Shabbos. What happens if he forgot to daven mincha on Friday? So now the makeup time is Shabbos, which has a different Shmona Esrei. It doesn't have 19 blessings, it has 7 blessings. But we've seen before that really on Shmona Esrei there should have been 19 blessings. Because we should always ask for wisdom and for healing. We always need those things. But the sages didn't do it, so they didn't want to make it too hard. They didn't want to make a tircha. So what do you do here? Does he pray two Shabbos Shmona Esreis? One is Shabbos, and one is the makeup for the weekday that he missed? So it says the Brisa, Mispal Belel Shabbos Shtayim, he does pray two Shabbos Shmona Esreis. And it works the other way too. Tav lo espal el mincha b'Shabbos. Let's say on Shabbos mincha, he forgot to daven Shmona Esrei. Now he realizes when it's already night. Mispal b'motzoi Shabbos Shtayim shel chol. On Matzi Shabbos, he davens two weekday Shmona Esrays. The first one is the Mariv, it's the obligation, because you always have to do your obligations first. And the second is the Tashlumin, is the makeup. Therefore, Madu Barishona, he says the blessing of Atzachon Antanu and Abdallah in the first Shmona Esray. Veino Madu Bishniya, and he doesn't say Atzachon Antanu, he doesn't say Abdallah in the second Shmona Esray, because it's the makeup for the Shabbos Shmona Esray that he forgot. Vimidu Bishniya Velohivdu Barishona. And if he said the Atzachon Antanu in the second Shmona Esray, and he didn't say anything in the first Shmona Esray, so then by doing it that way, Shniya Osalo, that made the second Shmona Esray into the Ma'ariv, into the Havdalah. And then Rishona Lo Osalo, because he's trying to do the makeup before the obligation. So it doesn't work as a makeup, and he has to do it now another time. Lememer, are you telling me to Kim Dlo Adu Bekamaisa, Kamad Lo Tzalitami, that if on a Motzei Shabbos you don't say Atzachon Antanu, it's as if he didn't pray? Imagine we make you redo it. Or mean, but I'll challenge you with a brisa. We learned in a brisa to avlo iskik vurs kasham tkiyas amesim. If somebody made a mistake and he didn't say at mashav aruch amarad agashem in the tkiyas amesim, in the second blessing, or he didn't say the same talumatu levracha in birchas hashanim marzirin also, we make him redo it. Havdala b'chonin adas. If he didn't say havdala in chonin adas, in marzirin also, we don't make him redo it. We say it's a fine mariv. Because he can always say Abdallah on a cup. Says the Gemara, okay, Kasha, that's a question. But it's still, what we are saying still stands. In other words, you don't need to say Atzachon Antanu for it to be a Mariv. It's a Mariv without Atzachon Antanu. But if he chose to say Atzachon Antanu, so then he's showing this is the Mariv of Abdallah. So if he said that second, then that means that the first one, where he didn't say anything, was he was trying to make it a Tashlumin. But you can't do it that way. You can't have the makeup first and the obligation second. The obligation needs to be first, and the makeup needs to be second. Okay, now we have a lighter discussion. What's that? He ends up saying three, yeah. Now we have a lighter discussion, a very famous discussion. What's the source for our prayers? Itmar, we learned in the yeshiva. Rabbi Yosef Chanina says, Tfilos, the prayers of Ostiknum, they came from our patriarchs. In other words, Avram Avinu instituted to Daven Shachris, Yitzchak then added to Daven Mincha, and Yaakov Mariv. And we've been praying ever since. No, the prayers came from the loss of the temple. Once we lost the temple, we didn't have Karbanos. So to make up for the Karbanos, to make up for the sacrifices, for the Tzmidim that we couldn't offer anymore, the sages instituted prayers. We have a brisa like Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, the prayers go back to the Avos. We also have a brisa like Rabbi Yosef ben Levi that the prayers go to the loss of the temple. We have a brisa like Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. Says the brisa, quote, Avram tikin tefillah shachris. Avram instituted shachris. Shenamar, as we find in the pasuk, Vayashkim Avram aboker. Avram woke up early in the morning and he went elam akom to the place asher amad sham, where he had been standing the day before. What does it mean to stand? In amid el tefillah, standing his prayer. Shenamar, as we find in the verse in Tehillim, Vayamod Pinchas vayifaleo. Pinchas stood and he prayed, and the plague stopped. Yitzchak tikin tefillah mincha. Yitzchak instituted mincha. Shenamar, because it says, Vayitzchak Yitzchak lesuach basad lifnos arav. Yitzchak went to converse in the field towards the evening. In sicha, the word sicha, conversation, refers to prayer. Shneamer says tefillah la'aniki atof, a prayer for the poor person when he expresses himself. Lifnei Hashem, you spoke sichon, before God, he will pour his conversation. Yaakov tikin tefillas arvis. Yaakov instituted ma'ariv. Shneamer says vayivgab makom, he hit the place. Vayol and Shem went to sleep there. Vein pegia, and hitting a place has to be prayer. Shneamer says va'ata altis paleil ba'adam azeh, you don't pray for these people. Altis ba'adam rino tefillah, and don't lift for their sake any song or prayer, and don't appeal with me. Don't appeal to me. On the other hand, we have a brisa like Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says that the prayers don't come from the avos, they come from the karbanos. Why did they say that shachris should be till the middle of the day? Because the morning karban tzamid would sometimes go all the way till the middle of the day. Rabbi Yud Omer ad arba shos, only till the fourth hour. So it was only be done till the fourth hour. Why they say mincha until the evening? Because the tamid of the Beinu Arbaim of the evening times could go all the way till the evening. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, I plaga mincha only till half of the mincha time. They would always get it done by the half of the mincha time. Why they say that marav has no set time? Because marav is to correspond to the limbs and fats that they couldn't burn during the day. That those extra limbs and those extra fats, Shalonis Aklu, that hadn't been consumed by the fires, Miba Erev, before the sunset, Kremi Bahochim Kalalaila, that can be put onto the altar any time during the night, and they can be burned any time during the night.
And why is Musaf also anytime during the day? Because the carbon Musaf can be brought anytime during the day. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees about Musaf too. He says, you have to daven Musaf at the seventh hour. Because the carbon Musaf would be brought by the seventh hour. Ezohi Mincha Gedola. What is the beginning of Mincha time? From 6.5 hours into the day. Because the Torah talks about Tamid Shel Beinu Arbaim, a Tamid of the evening. So 6 hours, it's not evening yet. It's not Beinu Arbaim. There's no setting yet. So therefore, 6.5 hours, that's the beginning of Mincha time, because that's the beginning of the Tamid time. Ezohi Mincha Ktana. What is really the time that the Mincha is ending now? Really, you shouldn't be davening Mincha after here. It's Mitesha Shos Umechza Ulamala, after 9.5 hours and on, because typically that was it for the carbon tamid. He probably had a question when Rabbi Yehuda says plaga mincha, the half of mincha. Plag mincha kama kama, he's talking about the half from the first mincha, half from the 6.5 hour point till the end, half of that. Or plag mincha achrona kama, or he's talking about half from the 9.5 hour point till the end. Tashmak when he approved it, time went in a brace. Rabbi Yehuda says plag mincha achrona amru. When we say half of mincha, it means half of the last mincha time. He Yud Aleph Shos Chasa Revia, 10 hours and 45 minutes into the day. So 1 second, this Braisa says all the times for the prayers are based on the times for the sacrifices. That should disprove Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina, who says that the prayers are instituted by the patriarchs. Here you see that the prayers have to do with the sacrifices. Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina will give you the following answer. Really, I could tell you, Tfilos Avos Tiknum, the prayers were instituted by our patriarchs. But later, when we lost the temple, Asmechinu Rabbanon HaKarbanos, the rabbis then connected them to replace the sacrifices. Tfilos Tzemach, if you're not going to say that, Tfilos Musaf, the Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina, according to Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina, that the Shmona Esrays and the prayers come from our patriarchs. What about Musaf? Man Tiknum, we only had 3 patriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Ela Tfilos must be that the prayers of Avos Tiknum were instituted by our patriarchs. Asmechinu Rabbanon HaKarbanos, and then the rabbis linked them to the karbanos, to the sacrifices. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day.